Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to Through the Bible. You've made a great decision to start your year off in God's Word. And today we travel further down the road in our study of Romans chapter 14. But first let's visit with Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris.
Well, Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year to you too, Greg. I love this time of year.
Yeah, because there's so many things that we have a sense of newness. And of course, it's going to be another great year to take God's whole word to the whole world.
Yeah, and I love this part of the year because today, especially the first day when you're through the three-day vacation of New Year's and all of that, that's when you can put into practice your New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
And what better resolution? Maybe you're that person that's listening and wants to go through the Bible consistently this year. You're off to a great start. Keep it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have all kinds of great digital tools. If you hear us on the radio, like millions of people do, fantastic. If you miss a program, make sure you download our app or go on to ttb.org. There are a myriad of ways for you to catch up or listen or even get ahead.
Yeah, one of the things I like is, although I like everybody following along with what we're at, because that's the way I listen, but you can do a thing with our app that it says start your journey.
Yeah,
and you can
that.
Start in Genesis anytime, regardless of where the Bible bus is, and then that also gives you some flexibility, and you can binge listen if you choose to do that.
Yeah, also, you could sign up. We have this wonderful email that's called This Week on the Bible Bus that actually gives you the whole Monday through Friday programs, and it goes out on Sunday night. So once again, if you want to sort of jump ahead or get ahead, there's so many different ways to listen. And of course, as the regular Bible Bus schedule, like you said, goes into 2023, we're going to study Old Testament historical books, starting with Ezra and Nehemiah, then into the wisdom books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and then back into the New Testament, beginning with 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then Ephesians, probably one of my favorite books in the whole Bible.
Yeah, mine's actually Romans, which is where he is now.
I know. I know how you love Romans 8. Nowadays, I can't even read that without thinking of you and seeing your face, which is, you know, that we'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, that may not be the best way to get through Romans 8. The other thing that I like in terms of resources is the expansion that we've had on our Bible companions. One of our folks here, Barb Peel, has done a great job in developing this resource and having a series of questions afterwards, and I've been using it this year in a small group setting. We're going through the Bible Companion on Acts, and the entire group has really loved that whole series.
Yeah. Our communications team has just, I've told them you need to curate Dr. McGee's content the way like the Smithsonian curates great art, and they have done a brilliant job of offering it up to all of us. Yeah, I was on a long trip, an overseas trip recently, and I was reading the Revelation Bible Companion. It's just great, great stuff because it's all Dr. McGee.
Yeah, so we'd encourage you to do that. That's another thing. If you want to go deeper into the Word with a New Year's resolution, then look at the Bible Companion as a way to expand that.
And, of course, Steve, you know me. I always have to talk about the global work. Kind of just spills out if you just touch me. And we don't have much time, but I can tell you a lot of things are going to happen around the world. Lord willing, we hope to go into Talk Pigeon to finally begin that project. It's been a long time coming.
Papua New Guinea.
And we actually talked about you maybe visiting there, but that may happen later once this starts. I'm fine with us sharing over a period of months. Some of our faithful listeners are going to say, you guys have been talking about that for a while. The lesson to learn there is these projects are hard to get done around the world. And when we celebrate something like we just finished the new version of the Russian in a 5-year cycle, which was going through the book of Revelation in the middle of this whole war.
Mm-hmm.
And Oleg, who you know, wrote to me and said, that's pretty good timing, you know, that the Russian people are hearing this. So God is always doing new things. in the ministry, and we really, really encourage you to see yourself as part of the Through the Bible ministry.
Yeah, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention the number one way that you could be a part of Through the Bible is joining our World Prayer Team. I mean, there is just no better way.
Yeah.
So go to ttb.org/pray, sign up for that daily email Monday through Friday, and I know other people have written in, it's not just me, that say it really does revolutionize your, at least your first pass on your emails in the morning,
yes,
because Through the Bible is faithfully there, hearing an incredible story, typically of someone coming to faith, but also just the impact of the ministry around the world and how you can pray with literally thousands of other people all around the world for that particular region. And we really feel like it's having a huge impact on the ministry.
Yeah, I hear we're over 18,000 people strong,
wow,
on the World Prayer Team. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I remember when it was 10.
Yeah, I know. So let's make it 100.
Yeah, make it 18,001. Greg, why don't you pray for us?
Father, there's so much joy in just following you and letting you show us where you want to take your word to the corners of the earth, to every heart that wants your word on earth. And that's our goal and our prayer. And now we pray as we open your word and we look to a new calendar year that you will change us by the power of your word and the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, as I come back to this fifth verse of the 14th chapter of Romans, we're talking about Christian conduct. We're talking about that which is separation unto God. And this is the separation of the sons of God. You'll remember that this epistle actually began with Paul saying, Paul, an apostle, separated unto. And we said at the very beginning, I think our very first study, in Romans, that separation was not from, but unto something. You know, we have several words in the English language that you need to understand the preposition that goes with them to really understand the word. You take the word cleave. A thing can be cleaved apart, or it can be cleaved together. And actually means the opposite. Same word. Now, separation is from. But separation is also unto. When a fella gets married, he's now separated unto one girl. And he better be, because that's what marriage is. And the separation from is not the important thing. It's separation unto. And if he's really separated unto one, he'll be separated from, all right. So that the problem today in Christian conduct and in separation is to understand that we're separated unto Christ. Paul was separated unto the gospel, separated unto Christ. And that's actually what holy means today. What is a holy vessel? They had pots and pans in the tabernacle, and on that wilderness journey, they got beaten up. They didn't look very good. And you'd say, you mean to tell me those instruments are holy? Yes, they were used exclusively for God. That ought to be the position of every Christian. Now, that's what it means to be separated, separated unto Christ. You remember, Paul says, I've espoused you. And he's talking to those carnal Corinthians. I've separated you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. And the whole point is to be separated unto him. If you love him, you love his word, you want to be with him, want to talk with him, then separation is no problem. The problem is these super-duper, hyper-separated saints today that worry me to death because they say, oh my, you don't do that, do you? Sure, I do that. And what they're talking about is actually playing golf. Now, I think they're meddling when they begin to get in that area. Now, I personally think whatever a Christian does, he ought to do with enthusiasm, and that is this first great principle Paul puts down here in verse 5. Notice this, and I'm going to give you my translation today. On the one hand, one regardeth one day to be above another. On the other hand, another regardeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And when I was a student in seminary, why, I was brought up in a denomination in the South that were strict, actually Sabbatarians, but Sunday was their Sabbath day, they called it. And they just didn't believe in traveling on Sunday. I used to take the train and go down to Augusta, Georgia to preach. And I'd take the train Saturday evening. And do you know that some of the officers of that church wanted to know what time the train got in to Augusta, Georgia? I never was clear on that because of the fact that I got on the train. I said, I got on it Saturday evening. And the splitting hairs like that. One man said to me one day, said, doesn't that disturb you? I said, doesn't disturb me at all. One man observes a day. Now, I respect that man. I don't think he ought to travel on Sunday. I see no reason when I'm going from one engagement to another and it's necessary to travel on Sunday, why, to do that. May I say to you, whatever you do, he says here, let every man be fully persuaded, be convinced in his own mind, be assured in his own mind. In other words, what you should do with enthusiasm. Why, a man can go out here in Los Angeles to the stadium, Coliseum, and see a football game and yell his head off so that he can't even open his mouth the next day. He's yelled like a fanatic. And he can go to a Dodger game at night and do the same thing. And they say, my, he's a fan. But if you just stand up and give one little squeak for Jesus Christ, you're called a fanatic. Now, whatever a Christian does, he ought to do it with enthusiasm. And that's the reason today that going to church, it's not attractive to the world. Have you ever seen the saints on the way to church on Sunday morning? They're not doing it with enthusiasm. Whatever you do for Christ should be done with enthusiasm, done with excitement. Be convinced of this. This is the thing. I watch these people go into a Dodgers baseball game. I want to be very frank with you. I've never been inside that stadium, and I don't get any wrong ideas. To me, that's a waste of time. But I don't condemn anybody else that goes there. I just don't think that they're thinking right, but that's their business. And if they want to go, fine. I don't. And whatever I do, I want to do it with enthusiasm. Now somebody says, yes, but you go to golf course. When I go to golf course, I go with enthusiasm. I go because I want to go. And whatever I do for the Lord, I make these tapes because I want to. I'd rather do this than anything that I know of. If you want to know, I came down here this morning at 6:30 to make this tape because of the fact that this is something I love to do. And I want to see a Christian teach a Sunday school class, except a work. And one of the reasons church work is bogged down as it is today, why they say to this individual, will you teach this Sunday school class? Oh, if you can't get anybody else, I'll take it. Don't take it, brother. If that's the way, well, they won't have a teacher, and they won't have a teacher. Because I think that some people are actually committing sin doing church work. Because what we should do, and this is the first great principle, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now let's bring that over to questionable things today. What about this thing and another? Now, I had a little delegation of girls several years ago. I think they probably passed this period now. But they came to me and they said, do you think it's wrong for a Christian to dance? I think I surprised them a great deal. I said, well, for you, I think it's wrong. But for me, it'd be all right. They gasped. They said, what do you mean by that? Well, I said, I have no question about it. If I wanted to dance, I'd do it with enthusiasm. I don't do it. But the point is, you've got a question. And whatever you do, you be persuaded in your own mind. And you wouldn't have come and asked me the question if you had been persuaded in your own mind. I said, I've never had anybody come and ask me whether they ought to go to a football game or not, or go to a baseball game. They go, and they go with enthusiasm. Now, may I say to you, Christian friend today, and I'm not telling you what to do, but I am saying it's a great principle. If you've got a question in your mind about something you're doing, I don't care what it is, for you it's wrong. Might not be wrong for me, but it's sure wrong for you. Simon Peter followed the Lord afar off. He went that night into the judgment hall of the high priest. I sat in a hotel in Jerusalem, in the old city, on the side of the Valley of Kidron. And when the morning sun had come up from the east, it would just make that whole city ablaze across the Kidron Valley. And one of the places that's outside the city wall, and don't many see it, is the Church of the Cock Crowing. That's on the spot where the high priest's judgment hall was. That's where Caiaphas's home was. And that's where Simon Peter came in. It's called the Church of the Cock Crowing. And Simon Peter, I'm convinced, shouldn't have gone there that night. But John, who apparently had a home in Jerusalem, knew apparently everybody. He went in there that night. He didn't deny the Lord. Simon Peter did. It was all right for John. It was wrong for Simon Peter. May I say to you, you better have a conviction about you. John had no qualms at all about that. But for this weak brother, Simon Peter shouldn't have gone in there. Now, it's the weak brother today who is the separated brother. That may seem strange to you, but these people today that have set up a little system and that get up and they say, I don't do this and I don't do the other thing. I was in school with a fella that we used to have a water fight on Saturday night in a seminary dorm. And this dear brother, he would get together two or three of the super duper saints and he'd pray for us. I've always hoped he'd pray that I'd win it, but oh, we were terrible. Well, we were pretty rough fellas, and I think we did do a lot of damage to property. There was one night we soaked all the rugs, and we almost got booted out of the place. But this young fella, oh, how super-duper he was. Did you know that about 15 years after that, I sat down with him and his wife, begged him not to leave his wife. And he told me he had to, and I said, why? He says, because I have a little daughter by a woman out in Australia, and I want to marry her. And I say to you, he was the super-duper saint. May I say the weak brother is the brother that's totally separated. When you meet one of those, you better keep your eye on him because he's the weak one. The child of God today does what he does with enthusiasm for God. And they are the ones, I think, get the job done today. Now, I've spent a little time there, and I've done that purposely, friend, because this is important. That means, therefore, that questionable amusements are wrong for the believer if they're questionable to him. But if he can do that and still maintain his relationship with Christ. Now, let me tell you a little story in connection with that. Many years ago in Tennessee, a young lady went to her pastor, said, do you think it's wrong for a Christian to dance? And he said, anywhere you can take Jesus Christ with you is all right to go. Well, that made her angry. She said, well, I can take him to the dance. Pastor said, then go ahead. And so she went to the dance. And that night she said, anywhere I can take Jesus Christ. So a boy cut in on her, danced with her. She hadn't met him before. And she said to him, are you a Christian? He said, no. He wanted to make conversation. He said to her, are you a Christian? She said, yes. And this is what the unbeliever said. What are you doing here? That's what the unbelievers said. She went home. She decided maybe she couldn't take Jesus Christ there. Anywhere you take him, friends, it's all right to go. I don't care where that is. If you can take him into the bar room, you go there. The only trouble of it is the other fellas in the bar room will wonder what you're doing there. And that will be another principle later on. Now let me move on down. Verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. So that if you can go out on Sunday, and maybe you play golf on Sunday, and you can take Jesus Christ with you, stop out maybe on the ninth hole and have a prayer with the foursome you're playing with, then may I say to you that it'd be great. But I want to say this to you. What'll the foursome back of you think of you when they are held up and saying, those fellas are praying? And you know what one of them is going to say? What in the world are they doing out here today? Now, let's move on. The one thing is that the one with meat, he gives thanks to God from his heart. The one without meat, he gives thanks to God from his heart. It's not what's on the table, but what's in the heart that makes the real difference in man. That's the important thing, and that's what conditions Christian conduct. Now, verses 7 and 9. For none of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Now, the important thing to note here is a great many people say, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And they use that as teaching the fact that our lives affect others and it's our influence. But that's not the thought here. The fact that is here is that we cannot live our lives apart from Christ. As a Christian, you can't live your life. Whether you live, you'll have to live to him. Whether you die, you're going to have to die to him. Now, our conduct, therefore, is not limited or gauged by the food spread on the table, by the fact that our lives are spread out before him. That's the thing that's important. And you're going to have to give an account for the things done in the flesh. So what you do, where you go, remember, one of these days, you'll sit down with him. And it's not going to be a question of meat on the table. But it's going to be the question of your relationship to him when you sat down at that table. And you can be godless without meat, and you can be godless with meat, of course. That's the thing that is important here. And now Paul comes to this, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, I've never quite understood why people want to go to Bethlehem at Christmas time. There's no star there. But the Bible closes with the Lord Jesus saying, I am the offspring of David, the root and offspring of David, and I'm the bright and morning star. Now, that's the star that we're moving toward today. That's the star we should be following. For one of these days, we'll be in his presence. Therefore, he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. The problem is, you remember the Lord Jesus said to that bunch of Pharisees who wanted to stone a prostitute. He said, the one that's without sin, here's a brick, throw it at her. Not one of those boys were throwing bricks that day. And my friend, when you and I recognize, I have to give an account of myself. And I'll be honest with you, that disturbs me a little, because I'm wondering how I'm going to tell him about certain things. And so I can't sit in judgment on you. I'm worried about Vernon McGee. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, Paul's going to develop that thought, that my conduct has to be for the sake of the weak brother. Now, if I'm with a fella that believes he shouldn't travel on Sunday, and he and I are in a car together, he said, I just can't go today, McGee. I'm going to have to stay with him. I'll stay with him because, not that I agree with him, but for the sake of the weak brother. We need to recognize that. And what Paul is saying here, he says, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let us not chop each other up. And there are certain churches today where they do a good job of chopping each other up. Now he goes on to say, verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. In other words, your Christian liberty today may cause you to be criticized. You need to be careful. For the kingdom of God, he says, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And how this verse has been abused, it has to do with conduct. In other words, the heavenly sphere of life in which God's word and spirit govern, and whose organ on earth is the church. And he says, this is the important thing, the spiritual side. Now, he goes on to develop this. God rules everywhere, but there is a realm where he governs by spiritual forces or laws alone. Dr. Stifler said that, and that has to do with the church today. A Christian can't do what the world does, you see. Man's totally incapable of seeing or entering this kingdom without the new birth. And it hasn't anything to do with eating or drinking or fasting or having no meat on Friday or no pork or a vegetarian diet. These things are so much garbage, and they're the traditions of man. Christ said that they were eating and drinking in Noah's day. My friend, they were talking about whether you should have meat or not meat. Oh, today to learn that we're to be guided and governed by spiritual principles. I'll pick up there next time, finish this chapter, go into the 15th. Until then, may God richly bless you.
You know, the best way to be guided and governed by spiritual principles, as Dr. McGee said, is to be in God's Word every day. You need to do that. And that's what we'll be doing together every weekday of the new year. And by the way, do you know that on Sundays, you can also hear Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon? It's a very different style than what his normal teaching is. I think you'd enjoy it. Check it out if your station carries the Sunday sermon, or you can always listen online at ttb.org. And if you're having any problem finding it, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here next time as the Bible Bus continues into the new year. I'm so glad that you're with us on this journey through the whole Word of God.
Jesus made it.
Our journey on the Bible Bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.
When you need peace within, God, how many know He'll be there? Somebody say, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know God will.
God will be
right there.
Right there.
Now I got to leave this with you. Listen, somebody might be thinking like this.
Sometimes you feel all alone.
Anybody ever just felt alone?
Someone.
Get a sanctified witness that
He will.
Anybody ever been sick? You can taste it all in your mouth. But did God heal your body? Oh, I wish I had a praying church in here tonight. Or have you ever lost a loved one? Didn't know how you were gonna make it. But did God send a comforter called the Holy Ghost? Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Anybody know God will? Anybody know God will? Anybody know God will? Hey, hey, He will, yeah. Wait a minute. Have you ever been down and didn't know how to pick yourself up? Didn't God reach down His hand, pick you up, turn you around, place your feet upon solid ground? Won't God do it tonight? Won't God do it tonight? Won't God do it tonight? Won't God do it? 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 Say yeah! Say yeah! Ah, yeah! I know He will.
Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Greetings, 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 and Happy New Year. Hallelujah. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. We give the Lord all the honor and the glory. Praise. We thank him for everything that's going on. Pray that each and every person that tuned into the broadcast that had a wonderful new year, and that Jesus Christ is Lord in their lives. Today we want to get into the Word of God, but I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there. I want to thank the Lord for all the communication and the letters, everything that the correspondences that come. I just want to thank the Lord for using folks that believe and trusting what they're hearing on the broadcast. Father, we thank you. Once again, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask that your will be done today, that we take no credit for anything, because all that's been given to us only came through and by you. We ask your blessings to be upon our faith partners and radio listeners out there, that your will be done in their lives. We bind anything that's not of God today in the name of Jesus. We take authority over it according to the Word of God. We command the flu and all the other pestilences that's circulating, and we bind them in the name of Jesus. As the Word of God says, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So we thank God for the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As the blessings to be upon the radio audience out there, and that their hearts would be receptive to receiving God's word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Today we want to look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We thank the Lord for this opportunity, because not only using Apostle Paul to look at a Roman soldier and begin to outline all of the equipment in the natural that the Roman soldier had, and he spiritualized it, not on his own accord, but through the Holy Spirit. So we want to look at it today in the name of Jesus. And the word tells us in Ephesians 6, and I want to start at the 10th verse there, because we need the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do anything concerning what the Word of God says. And Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Ephesus, and I don't really know exactly why this whole thing came into existence, other than Paul was in prison, and what was happening is that he happened to look at a Roman soldier and all of the gear that the equipment that he had. He looked at it and he said, first of all, that this soldier is covered in the natural. So we pray to God today that everybody out there in radio land, in Jesus' name, would be covered from a spiritual standpoint. In Jesus' name, amen. Apostle Paul said, Minister Glory, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. I mean, this is a message that should be taught and also preached. It depends on the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the one that has taken up residence in this vessel, the one in whom I worship and I praise, because he is my God. Praise the Lord. Paul said there in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren. Oh, glory to God. We know who he's talking to. He's talking to me behind this microphone. He's talking to those that are out there in radio land that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Keep in mind that all of the epistles that was written to the church. It wasn't writing to the sinner man or unregenerated people. He was writing to those that know or should know the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, it's crystal clear concerning who he's talking to and what he's saying to them that he's talking to. And this is what we keep in mind, that God's a good God. And he's telling us to be strong, not in our own ability or our natural strength or what we feel that we're able to do. He said to be strong in the Lord. And that is cannot overemphasize that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Glory to God. God's strength, God's power, God's might. Amen. We are to be strong in the Lord. Keep in mind out there, strong in the Lord, not in yourself, but in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he said to put on the whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the tricks or the deception that the adversary will bring your way. Be strong in the Lord. Glory to God. I feel like preaching this thing, but I tell you, I want the Holy Spirit to lead me into what we're talking about here today, because it's vitally important. The enemy is running rampant and doing all kinds of things, all kinds of attacks that's going physically on God's people. But we want to know today that we serve a great and mighty God, and all power has been given unto us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all we can do is stand praising God and thanking him for everything. So Minister Glory, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on. Doesn't mean that every morning you wake up, you're putting on some armor. That's not what Paul is talking about. Apostle Paul is talking about. We must keep this armor on. We lie down with the armor of God on. And we rise with the armor of God on. We keep the armor on at all times. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, and the revelation came through the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit to let us know that this armor is vitally important, that we are in what is determined as spiritual warfare, that we are not dealing with folks in the natural, flesh and blood, should I say. We are dealing with disembodied spirits. We are dealing with things that we cannot see with our natural eyes, but the Holy Ghost gives us revelation, and we're to stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what he said, Minister Glory, is that you put on the whole armor of God, that we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil has a lot of tricks and deception, but there's nothing new. All he does is deceive. Jesus has told us what the enemy does. He has told us the proclivities of the adversary. John 10 and verse 10, he tells us here that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. God was well aware that the enemy has power, but he doesn't have power over us, because we are children of the Most High God. We have the armor. It says the whole armor of God. God is all powerful, more powerful The enemy has no power to raise up against God. God has all power. And I want to digress for a moment and put in a verse of scripture that the Holy Spirit just gave me as I was speaking in Luke 10 and verse 19. When the 70 went out and they came back rejoicing, and they saying that, Master, even the spirits are subject unto us in your name. Praise God. In the 19th, actually the 18th verse, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Defeated foe. And in the 19th verse, Jesus said, behold, other words, look, I give unto you power, that's authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, I want to tell you today that this armor that we have, the enemy cannot pierce this armor unless you allow him to do so. And that means that you forget all about what God has said to Apostle Paul, that you are to keep this armor on. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. My God, right now I'm sitting here behind this microphone, Minister Gloria and I tell you, we got that armor on. Glory to God. So Minister Gloria says that, put on the whole armor of God, that you're able to stand. He never said to run. You got folks that are running. They don't want to stand. But stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes.
This is deception that he brings. His master plan and purpose is to deceive God's people. But I want to tell you today, in the name that's above every name, that God has given us everything that we need for this Christian journey. Listen, it takes time to use the proper exegesis or exegetical approach to what we're talking about here. So what does he say there? Put on the whole armor.
I just wanted to mention about when you said be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes.
I think of being steadfast. Not, you know, this is, therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, but is in the Lord. I think of that, staying steadfast,
praise
unmovable,
God.
Not allowing the enemy to come against you, because it does. He comes against the mind of our people of God. So we know that we have this whole armor on, and we must keep this whole armor on, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses and high places. We're not fighting against us, the people that you look at every day. We're fighting against these spirits, these demonic spirits that are coming against the children of God.
This is why we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Most of the churches today, they don't want to hear about any spiritual warfare. They want to tell you how much you're blessed and you can come in and feel good and go out and do whatever you want to do. But I come to tell you through the honesty of my heart that it is warfare. The warfare is not against God. The warfare is against our enemy, our opponent, which is Satan. And what he does is that he's trying to deceive and destroy. Jesus said the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your health. He wants to steal your finances. He wants to steal everything that he can steal from you, kill you. And when you see destruction, that's nothing but the work of the adversary. But that's another subject here. But you just want to keep on the whole armor of God. And the idea is that these spirits cannot be visualized with your natural eyes. And most people are trying to see something before they believe it. But I want to tell you, Apostle Paul, with the revelation that he received from the Spirit of the living God, to look at this Roman soldier and put in place, glory to God, everything that we have. And there's so much here, but this armor is very vital. This armor is very vital for us all. But I want to tell you that, glory to God, that these are disembodied spirits. These spirits don't have no bodies. You can't see them with your natural eyes, and they're everywhere. I said they're everywhere. They're demon spirits. But the point Paul is saying, the flesh and blood, the person that's sitting next to you in the church, or you ones that you come in contact with on a day-to-day basis, or even wherever you are, that is not where the fight is. The fight is against wicked spirits, rulers of the darkness of this world. I tell you, you can't see them with your natural eyes. That's why we need the whole armor of God on us at all times. Is that right, Minister?
Amen. Amen.
So he said, for we wrestle. The fight is not against flesh and blood. A lot of folks today are fighting against each other, flesh and blood, because of what they see in the natural. Oh, my God, I tell you, this is something that needs to be taught here. Glory to God. And the Spirit is leading me to just slow down and try to explain as much as we can for the amount of time that we have. So what it says here, that that these are rulers of the darkness. Man, you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
These are demon spirits. Some folks say that they are fallen angels. I've looked at Jude, and I saw where the one that left their first estate, that they've been chained in darkness until the day of judgment. So I don't know. I can't go any further than what the scripture is saying. They're rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. You got folks that are wicked. Spiritual wickedness in high places. But what did he say? But we have to keep this armor on.
Amen.
And what is he telling us?
It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in this evil day. And these days are evil.
And yes, it is. It's evil.
And having done all, to stand steadfast, unmovable. Amen.
Praise God. How I perceive this, from my perspective through the revelatory that I have received, a revelation that I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to see if Apostle Paul is visualizing a Roman soldier in the natural. And he started from the head of that soldier to the feet, to his feet, so to speak. So he said we have to put on the helmet of salvation. So I want you to visualize and look at this from this perspective here, that in the spirit, because in the natural, so is in the spirit. Now, Paul says a helmet of salvation. Glory to God. I can't race through this, minister. This, it takes too much time to even try to explain this, but the helmet of salvation. In other words, the helmet that the Roman soldier had on his head, it covered his mind. And he represent the Roman government, so to speak. So the helmet of salvation. In the natural, the helmet of salvation. So that helmet covered his mind. Glory to God. Nothing could penetrate there. Paul looking at it and say, well, from the spiritual standpoint, that we have the mind of Christ and we have the helmet of salvation. Now, the Bible tells us the helmet of salvation. We look at it in Acts 4 and verse 12. Mr. Glory, would you read
that? It says, neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Glory to God. So now we look at the helmet of salvation. The helmet in the natural covered the mind of the Roman soldier. Well, our minds are covered with the mind of Christ and the helmet and the helmet. Glory to God. There's a helmet of salvation.
Amen.
Praise God. We every day we quote and we just say, Lord, thank God for being saved. Amen. That I have the helmet of salvation. You saved me. Praise God. This is, glory to God. This is something that we need to keep in mind. The helmet of salvation. Let's look at it a little further here. And I want you to see this man standing in the spirit. Glory to God. And all this armor is nobody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our salvation. Praise God. He's the helmet of our salvation. And he's the breastplate of our righteousness. Now come on down. Follow me, glory to God, in the expressions that I'm articulating through the airwaves here. First, you see the helmet. You have the mind of Christ. The scripture tells us there that in Philippians 2 and verse 5, that we have the mind of Christ. Praise God. So we come on down, glory, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now come on down, glory, and look at the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier had a breastplate that would protect the midsection of himself. Now, from the natural to the spiritual, glory to God, we have the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. We have the breastplate of righteousness. The midsection of us covers our heart and also the breastplate. Jesus Christ is our righteousness.
Amen.
Glory to God. I wish I had the time to explain this stuff here, because I tell you, it's very important. Glory to God. The breastplate of righteousness.
2 Corinthians 5:21.
Go ahead,
Minister. It says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
So we are protected, glory to God, with the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go a little further here. Let's look at this mighty man. Now you have the Roman soldier having his loins. In other words, he's girded about. He got all of his weapon and everything that's hanging on a belt there. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there? I'm going to God. All the armor that he's carrying, the sword and everything else, is attached to that belt. But see, Paul's looking at it from a spiritual standpoint now. He says that he has girded himself up with what?
With truth.
With truth.
And whose truth? Jesus said unto me, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Glory to God. Thank you, Minister Gloria. And also John 17:17, Jesus already told us in that priestly prayer, that he says, Father, sanctify them in your word, for thy word is truth. Praise God. Let's look a little further here, because when you see this man standing, not in the natural, but from a spiritual standpoint, you'll see that it's nobody other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why he is that armor. He is the armor of God for us all. Praise God. And Minister Glory, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now what is happening is that the Roman soldier in the natural, he had shoes on with spikes at the bottom of it. So when they position themselves and stand, that means that they will not lose their footing. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in radio land? Good God Almighty, his feet is shod with the preparation of the glory to God. And what is happening is that the spirit man is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace, praise God. The Roman soldier in the natural has shoes with spikes on it so that he can keep his footing. We have spiritual shoes, glory to God. Amen. We've been shod just like they shod a horse. They put horseshoes on a horse's feet to give him, leverage where he's able to run without any pain. So what is happening is that our feet been shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
And whose peace?
Jesus is our peace.
Hallelujah. And John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Jesus is our peace. Praise God. He's the helmet of salvation. He's our salvation. He's our breastplate of righteousness. He's our loins girded about with the truth. He's the truth. He's our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's much more than what I'm talking about here. And anyway, and having taken on the shield of faith, glory to God, Jesus Christ is our faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I tell you, this is something else. When we look at this man here, praise God, we look at things in the natural, and Paul's looking at it, and now we see it in the spiritual. Everything, every piece of the armor is nobody but Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
And he said, what? Having taken on the sword of the Spirit, which
the
is
word
the word of
God. Amen.
Which is the word of God.
That's the word of God.
Amen. Minister Glory, would you read
Hebrews 4:12?
Hebrews 4 and verse 12.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So what it is that Jesus is this whole armor.
Amen.
And we are in him. Praise God.
Amen.
That's why we have on the whole armor of God. It's all a, power.
It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the word of God. Amen.
He is the
quick.
Word of God.
Yes, he
Amen.
Is.
He is the word of God. Mm-hmm. So when you look at this man, and I'm telling you that the enemy, when he looks at this whole armor, he should see nobody other than Jesus. And when we keep it on, I tell you, the enemy, he has no chance against doing anything to us. But keep in mind that all of this armor is all defensive.
Amen.
Praise God. The only offensive weapon that we have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Hallelujah.
That word, we can speak it. And you take that sword out, praise God. Mm-hmm. And anytime the enemy comes your way, you cut him. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You
Amen.
Cut him with the word.
That's right.
You don't cry and fall down and roll over and have crocodile tears and try to say, Lord, help me. No, he's given us everything that we need to walk this Christian journey. We've dressed up. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, when you get dressed up in Jesus with this armor, because that's all it is. The whole armor of God is all of Jesus.
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's all. Minister Glory, it's all of Jesus.
Right.
Because what happened, and then you're standing.
That's right.
Now,
praise God.
But you can't just stop there.
No.
Because we, as children of God, with all that armor on, we are to continue to pray. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. And the word of God tells us that praying always.
Always.
Good God Almighty, prayer mm-hmm. is power, and power is prayer. Praise God. You want to read that, that 18th verse there? Ephesians 6 and verse 18.
Oh, okay. Okay. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Praise the Lord. Well, we thank you all out there in Radio Land. Our time has come to a close, and we just thank you for being part of this broadcast. Keep in mind that everything is all about Jesus. And it takes time to go through this armor. I thank God for what he allowed me to speak on today concerning that armor. But Jesus is the whole armor of God. Mr. Glory, would you just invite
us? It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believed unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, oh hallelujah, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
God bless you all out there in Radio Land until the next broadcast.
Listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out.